Of course, you know, now Anne's going to expect that kind of service. As I said during the announcements, unity's special. Unity's unique. It's not really like anything else, and I think its uniqueness is what makes it special. My whole life, looking back, I realized I was a seeker. My whole life, I felt kind of out of place spiritually. I felt out of place in the church I grew up in. Everybody else seemed to fit in. But it was like, well, I wasn't so much dissatisfied as unsatisfied. I always sort of felt like something was missing, like I was in the wrong place. Like it just didn't suit me. And as soon as I could, as soon as I could drive, one of the first things I did, other than Buzz Steak and Shake, was I started looking for a church. I started looking for a spiritual home. I started looking for something that would fill that void. And I went to a whole lot of churches and a whole lot of spiritual organizations. I went to Jewish synagogues. I went to Hindu temples. I read books, went to seminars, took classes. But I felt like I spent my whole life in spirit's changing room, trying on one religion after the other, one faith path after another, and none of them seemed to fit. Even those that seemed to be not too big or too tight, I'd look in the mirror and it just didn't look right on me. I had this experience for so long, I began to wonder if there was anything to be found in religion, if this spiritual business was just nonsense, until my first Sunday in Unity. And all of a sudden, I realized this is what I was looking for. It fit like a glove. I looked at myself dressed in Unity, and I looked good. I felt good. Kind of like you feel when you put on that suit or that outfit that's just fits, you know what I mean? That's cut like it was cut just for you. That's what Unity has been to me. And I think everybody should find that. I think this is really true of all spiritual paths, not just ours. As Emily Cady wrote in what was Unity's first and still its greatest book, Lessons in Truth, in the chapter entitled Unity of the Spirit, many paths lead to God. There's not just one path that leads to God. And if we teach, seek and you shall find, then all of those people are seeking in all those places. Surely they will find. But while many paths may lead to God, not every path is right for every person. And that's something I just wish we religion would understand. Not every path is right for every person. And each of us must find that path that suits us on our spiritual journey. There was nothing wrong with the church I grew up in, nothing wrong with all the churches and temples and synagogues I visited. Nothing wrong with any of those places. They just weren't right for me. I could tell they were right for lots and lots of people. And those people belonged in those places. And I think if religious people of every faith and creed could just learn that this one lesson, we would all be the force for good and perform the service to God that religion is supposed to do. if we all could just understand that just because our friends and neighbors and loved ones aren't following the path we are following, it doesn't mean they're going wrong. It doesn't mean they're misguided. And while they may be marching to a different drummer, we're all really marching to the same destination. And as Katie wrote in that aforementioned chapter of Lessons in Truth, believe me, just as there is less separation between the spokes of a wheel the nearer they get to the hub, so you will find that the nearer you both come to the perfect center, which is the Father, the less difference will there be between you and your brother. If we want to meet, we don't need to join some other path. We need to pursue our own. And sometimes that changes. Sometimes one path suits us for a while, and then we must find another to complete our journey. And sometimes we have loved ones that are following paths that we just don't get. I know there are people that just, maybe they once did, but they don't get the Roman Catholic Church anymore. They did once, but they don't get it anymore. It took them as far as it needed to go, but there are lots of people that have converted to the Roman Catholic Church, people raised in unity, and they get it. If you go to a Greek Orthodox church, a lot of the things they do are very different. They have great parties, but their worship is very different from the way we worship. But they're getting a lot out of it. They're getting a lot out of their icons and their worship and their understanding of God. And we need to understand that people of all religions are finding what they're looking for. We just need to make sure we find what we are looking for in religion. Because we're not in competition. We're all heading the same place. We just are all approaching it from a different angle. Our goal in unity is to make First Unity a place, if we want this church to succeed, where people can find what we found when we walked into our First Unity Church. That's our goal here. We are successful if we do that. We are successful if people walk in and sit down in one of the back pews, which is what I did the first Sunday, and suddenly felt like they were at home. Or came in and sat down in the very last pew in a crowded Unity Church with roughly 1,000 people there one Sunday, sat down in the back pew because it was the only seat left, and were so thrilled at what they found they just started weeping, which was Faye's experience. Now, I was her minister at the time, so I'm pretty sure she didn't cry because the sermon was so bad. No, that was a long time before we knew each other on any personal level, as anything other than minister and congregant, but she'd been looking too. She grew up in a church that just didn't make sense to her, in a place that just didn't make sense to her, where she felt like her family must have, I don't know, brought the wrong kid home from the hospital, which would have been hard to do because she was born at home. The doctor must have made the wrong delivery. You know, when Faye was a little girl, she believed babies were delivered by doctors in their medical bags. Because when her, not her sister, next youngest, because she's only about a year younger than Faye, but when Reba, the one was born that was like 3 years younger than Faye, Faye's there with her sister, and all of a sudden they shush them out of the farmhouse they were living in, take them to Ma's, to Grandma's. After a while, they bring them back. They see the doctor going with a little bag. Hour or so later, they bring them back, and there's a baby there, just about the size of that bag. And they said the doctor delivered the baby. You know, to a five-year-old, that makes actually a whole lot more sense than what actually happens. But a lot of us have similar stories about our first time in unity. And it was the unity itself that brought that to us. And it's really important we remember that, because I think a lot of times, in an effort to be a success, a lot of churches lose their way. I've seen it happen in unity churches. I've seen it happen in churches of every denomination. Instead of being true to what they teach, they try to do something that would bring people in with the idea that, well, after we get them, then we'll teach them. But it never seems to work out that way. It never seems to work out that way. I listen to TV preachers quote unity things, and I always feel like if you really listen to them, what their theology actually is, they're kind of like when I was a kid and I would put a comic book in my math book. You know, they've got this unity book on the outside, but that's not what they're reading from on the inside. They're reading from something completely different. Now, the fact that they've got their comic book in the unity book means there are people interested in this stuff. But the theology they're actually teaching, it's nothing like what we teach. And I think we all should just be honest. We should try to be ourselves so we can each draw our own to us. We shouldn't pretend. I mean, in your own life, the world is full of people that think, well, if I just look a certain way, then I'll find my perfect partner. Well, you know, you're going to have to take the toupee and the shapewear off at some point. Maybe you should just let them know what you really look like. Maybe you should just be yourself. Because if somebody doesn't love you for who you are, they don't love you. If somebody loves you because they think they can change you into the person they want you to be, they don't love you. You need to find somebody that loves you. That's your perfect partner. Not somebody who loves the shapewear you, or the plastic surgery you, or the toupee you, or the you they think you can make you over into. Because ladies, and I'm especially speaking to ladies, because men never have this idea. We're more easily satisfied. Ladies, if you haven't found it out already, men really don't change. You better just find one you like the way they are, because if you think you're going to give them a makeover, it never lasts, you know? You better like the one you brung home, because that's the one you're probably going to be stuck with. And some of us were fortunate enough to find people that just think we're adorable. I don't know why. I've always thought maybe it was a vision problem Faye had, but I'm okay. I'm okay with it. Over the years, I've seen a lot of churches get lost in a lot of ways by trying to give themselves a makeover and pretend to be something they're not, just like I've seen people do that in relationships. I've also seen a lot of churches, we almost did it here, think if only they had a nice enough building, they would bring all these people in. And then they'd find what we found in unity. This has been going on since the beginning of time, since the first religion. The world is dotted with abandoned temples to gods. We don't even know what the gods were. They're just columns lined up in a big empty space in the middle, where at one time there was probably a statue, a graven image of some kind. This goes back to the very beginning. You know, there's a story in the Bible about some people who thought if they could just build a big enough building, they would impress God. It's called the Tower of Babel. And if you remember the story, it didn't work out so good. But people are still doing it. People are still thinking, even though most American cities are dotted with abandoned churches and cathedrals, who no longer have congregations in the neighborhood, or that have been converted to something else like a Jewish synagogue I attended in my youth, Temple Israel, is now the Missouri Historical Society, because the congregation moved away. Nice building, but it's not what it was built to be anymore. It's become something else. Or Schuller's Crystal Cathedral. You know, when I was starting out in the ministry, I actually went to California. He was giving these seminars that were going to teach us all how to have a successful church. And he had a really nice church. It seated like 1,000 people. And it had this big drive-in section, too. But he decided he wouldn't really be a success until he built a bigger church that seated 4,000 people. He built his crystal cathedral. So he hired about the most expensive architect he could find. And he built this grand building. And almost from the day the doors opened, they had financial problems. If you used to watch his show, almost from the day that crystal cathedral first opened, he was begging for money. And he continued to beg for money for the next 40 years until finally, about 2 years ago, it went bankrupt. And the Crystal Cathedral is now, I don't know, the Crystal Convention Center. I have no idea what it is now. But it is not the home of that church anymore. Some people here thought they could do that. They thought, if we built this big building, I mean, remember, this church has been around 70 years at this point. But after they let the last minister go and before they hired me, a little group of people thought, you know, if we just built this big building, then we're going to be a success. We're going to make unity a success. So instead of building a building they could afford, a building that would accommodate the congregation they actually had, plus some growth, they built a building about 4 times the size of the congregation they had. Well, they didn't really. They just spent all the money we'd saved up over the 70 preceding years and all the money they got from selling the old building that was paid off and about $100,000 that they didn't have and built a shell that was about 30% complete. And over the last 20 years, we got the building done and we've been paying it off. And over the last 2 years, it's finally been the point where I no longer wonder every single week whether I'm going to get paid. Just like once a month. Just about once a month when the mortgage payment's due, I still kind of wonder, well, am I going to get paid this week? And fortunately, there's nothing in our religion against spam, so fan I make it for that week, but I think I would have been happy with the little building and the smaller utility payments, just between you and me. Oh, and by the way, it's not just churches that do this. I mean, churches of every denomination do it, but it's not just churches. The United States is full, cities are full of whole neighborhoods, whole subdivisions of nice, beautiful, empty houses that people bought because they thought they would be a success. It would be the American dream come true if they could just finance this big house. And their American dream turned into the American nightmare. They found themselves underwater. And they finally walked away from their life savings and their credit rating. And the house went back to a bank with more owed on it than it's worth. And in some American cities, there's just neighborhood after neighborhood of abandoned houses. One of my sons bought one of them, one of those short sale houses we bought from the bank. They made bids. And when he bought it, he really didn't know, like, if there were any pipes still in it. He got lucky with the house, but you find him everywhere. So it's not just churches. All of these things have one thing in common. It's the idea that if I could just change this outer thing, then I'll be a success. But as we learn in unity, success radiates from within out, not from without in. I said I took that Schuller seminar. Here's what he was teaching for success. They're still giving seminars, aren't they? They've just given it a different name. A lot of churches think success is found in getting lots of people into the church. And so what they teach you to do in these seminars is they teach you to start all these groups. Because if people come to all these groups, they say, well, then they'll come to church. You know what? I took that seminar, remember, like 40 years ago. Here's what I think about the corporate church model. Well, think about it. We've been doing that here for years. We have a big quilting group that meets here. We have a paper crafting group that meets here. We have a couple of support groups that meet here, 12-step groups, an AA group and a CA group. And if you come here, drive by Wednesday nights when the CA group is here and we have a jazz band that rehearses here on Wednesday night, it looks like Easter Sunday. We have ukulele players that play here. We've had exercise groups here. We've had people that came here for a while and they did Zumba. We had people that did Tai Chi. We have people now that are doing yoga. The place is really full when there's a presidential election. Full all day because we're a polling place. But you know what? While some of our people attend these various things, the people that attend those things don't ever come to church, not many anyway. The jazz band people come to play jazz. The ukulele people come to play their ukuleles. The AA people come to attend an AA meeting. The yoga people come to do yoga. The quilters come to quilt, and the crafters come to craft. And almost all those people, they have their own church. They're not looking for a church. They're looking for a place where their group can meet. And I'm glad we have the place. We get this place used. I'd hate for it to just sit here empty all week long, waiting for Sunday to come along. That'd be terrible stewardship. But, okay, most of those groups have been meeting here for like 10 years. Are we bursting at the seams? Do we see all those people coming to church? No, it just doesn't work. It's a nice service to provide the community, but it just doesn't work. Which brings me back to the beginning. If we want this church to be a success, we have to decide what success is. And my opinion is simple. We want to make people feel welcome to come through those doors and see if unity is the right place. But we're a success to the degree that we teach unity and in our own personal lives that we live our unity. Because if we're not doing that, what's the point? What's the point? If we want to fill the place up, let's put up a big screen TV and have free beer. We'll fill the place up for a Super Bowl party. But I don't think those people will find any unity here. If we want to build a big building, well, you hire somebody else. I'm done building buildings. This is like my third one. That's it. I'm sorry. Find somebody much younger. My back hurts just thinking about it. If we want to be a success, if we want people to find what we found, we have to make sure First Unity has what we found when we walked into Unity. And you know what? On that level, though, I would love for more people to find what I found here. And I think there are people out there that are looking for exactly what I found here. As far as teaching Unity, we're a success now. Well, I got a compliment from a fellow Unity minister not long ago. We were talking, and she's familiar with all the Unity churches in the area. And she said, you know what, Randy, you don't just have the First Unity Church of St. Louis, you have the last Unity Church of St. Louis. Now, I wouldn't go that far, but I will say, a lot of times you walk in a Unity Church, you don't exactly know what you're going to get. It's sort of like you walk in a McDonald's and they have the Golden Arches and everything, but when you go in, instead of Big Macs, they're selling clams. I would not buy clams at a McDonald's. I would not buy an Oyster McMuffin. I want my McDonald's to have, I mean, the food's not good, but at least I know what to expect. I can get my little pie. I can get my French fries that taste better than they should. I mean, how could that be bad for you? How could God be so cruel? And every McDonald's is going to have it. Well, that's not always true of Unity Church, but it's true of this one. It's true of the way our volunteers reorganize the library. When you walk in here, what you get is Unity. And you know what? In my opinion, that means we're doing our job right. And in my opinion, if what you get is Unity, you've gotten plenty. Let's pray about this. And to center ourselves for our experience of God in prayer, let's know that God is truly here. That God is not far off, but is with us now. We are now in the presence of God's pure being and immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and truth. And that presence is the only presence that counts. There's only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent, and so it is.